when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all you precious Blood River Radio fans, wherever you are in the world. Well, we got one hell of a show to listen to tonight. I'm broadcasting. We're coming from you from the middle, right in the middle of the northwestern Arkansas, in the middle of the Ozark Mountains. It is so beautiful here and so rugged. I don't know how in the world they even found this place. It takes you know what? You have to cross creeks to get in here. You drive your car literally through water creeks to get in here. But listen, people, like I said, I'm broadcasting from the Knights Council. It's 65 years old, the Knights Council of the Ku Klux Klan. I've been informed this isn't just any Ku Klux Klan. This is the Knights Council of the Ku Klux Klan. And listen, you know the drill here. I want you to know we have some amazing guests come on tonight. We're gonna break some new ground tonight. I thought I knew everything that was going on in the world. Folks, I don't, and neither do you. But we're going to let you know a lot of really sad stuff tonight. But if you know Blood River Radio, we always go to prayer. We start our show every day, every show with a prayer. So if you will, people, please bow your heads. Almighty God, Father, Heavenly Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you who spoke everything in this world that you see in existence, people, God Almighty just spoke it into existence. He opened his mouth and he spoke it into existence. And he saved us. While we were yet sinners, he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, the only name under the sun which man can be saved, Jesus Christ, Almighty God. We ask you, Lord, to continue to bless Blood River Radio. You can bless me, my family, all these wonderful guests here, all these wonderful Christian people here, the most gentle, most honest, clean-cut, most precious people you'll ever see. They make me feel guilty the way I am anyway. So I ask all this in Jesus' name, Lord. Please continue to bless this show, bless these wonderful people. I ask all this in Jesus' name, man. People, without further ado, I'd like to thank some of our donors for sending me up here. We have a Paul Lawrence from South Carolina. He has financed this trip. Every time I need to go on the road, I'll just throw out the call. And when we went to Pensacola to interview the Ship Liberty survivors, anywhere I want to go, they pony up, and God bless them. We also have Alan in Florida who just sent his monthly donation, and it was a really good one. And without that, Eddie Bombardier Miller would not be here. So listen, without further ado, we're not going to go any more announcements, anything. We have this kid. He's 19 years old. He goes to his high school. He's getting ready to graduate from up here in Harrison, Arkansas. He has an amazing, a sad story. It infuriates me. I want him to tell you the story. If you will, John, pick up your microphone there, son. I got to ask you some questions. Introduce yourself, if you will, John.
I'm John. I'm 18, and I live in Harrison, Arkansas. From a very young age, they try to... From a very young age, they try to teach you that being white isn't okay, and that you shouldn't be proud of who you are. And they were back in, I think it was the fourth grade, every week for the entirety of the Black History Month, they would make you write about an amazing black person, an entire essay for every week. And it wasn't that good.
And keep in mind, people, you're talking about an area that's 95% white. 95% white, and they're making these kids write essays honoring, like Gene Andrews calls them, feral animals. But continue on, John.
And they'd make you do that once a week, every month, or not every month, during the Black History Month. And it was just not good.
I asked John, I said, John, what would happen to you if you just, or if you refused to do that? And tell them what would happen to you, John.
They would expel you.
Get that, people? You hear that? That's what's happening in 95% white northwestern Arkansas. That's beyond. It's just beyond my belief. John, you know, we were talking about earlier today. You said, I asked you, what, you know, in your estimate, what a percentage of kids your age here around Harrison, Arkansas, feel, do they have, say, have a white guilt? They believe in Black Lives Matter. They believe in white privilege. Is there two or three of them, five or six? How many?
I'd say in Harrison, there's probably 50% of people under the age of 20 that think that way.
My God. And John was telling me something about this today. He told me that just about, tell him about the teachers, help with the sex and stuff.
So I think it was 97% of all teachers are female. And 50% of at home are only female. There's no father figure around. So you've got almost 100% of people who are going to school, learning in feminist ways, and they're at home. They don't have a strong father figure. It's heartbreaking, really. I mean, they don't have a strong role model. Men and women especially, too.
You know, I didn't ask you this question today, but I'll ask you to right now. Do they have any, about how many blacks, what do you have? Do you have two, three blacks in the school, the whole school? Or Mexican?
Yeah, there's not many. I think there was two that I knew of at the school, at the high school. Both of them in which I played football with. And there's a couple of Asian people. Not many.
Do the teachers, how is race mixing? Is race mixing ever mentioned in that school by the teachers or by the students?
Not that I know of.
Okay. I was curious about that. Well, I asked John today, and I'm going to ask him again. John, what is your prognosis for this country? You know, if 95% white Western Arkansas, that's about as white as you can get anywhere. Do you think, first of all, do you think things are going to get better? Or are they going to get worse anytime soon? I know this is probably a rhetorical question.
I feel like things have definitely got to get worse before they're going to get better, just because of the way everything's going right now.
You know, John's dad told me he has a business and he's forced to hire, and John Jr. sitting right here beside me, he can vouch for me. His dad said, you're forced to hire these Pacific Islanders, these Mexicans, they're coming into the country, whether they're qualified or not, because all they have to do is complain that John's father was mean to them, said something wrong to them, and John's dad will get in trouble. Is that right, John?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much the way it is anywhere.
Well, John, let me ask you this. We were talking today. You're 19 years old. You're 18 years old. What would be your advice to people in the audience? What could they do? Let me back up. What could you do? You're 18 years old. You're living with 50% of the kids your age have been brainwashed into believing this lie, the devil's lie. What can people like you do? Is there any hope to wake these people up, John?
Talk. Speak to them. It won't hurt. It will not hurt. Just the more that you talk to people, the more that you tell them statistically, even statistically, everything. It helps. Anything helps.
That's great. I tell you what, John. What could the older people say? We're probably too far gone. Is there anything that we could do? This might be a dumb question. That the young people could not do? Could we be role models to somebody like your age, us people, people my age? What could I do? What could Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Grandpa Miller, what could I do to help people like your age? Is there any way I could do to bring them out of this altered reality?
Just let them know that there's more people like us.
I got you. That's in people. I was stunned when I heard that today. I mean, because now let me ask this. Keep in mind, this kid is 18 years old. I mean, he's like barely out of diapers compared to me. John, tell them what he told me something that's also stunned. He's only 18 years old. And he told me, tell me what's happened in your lifetime, an 18-year-old kid.
Oh, there's a dramatic change. He was talking about the change from the 50s to now, but even I've seen it. It's a snowball effect. I mean, the more that happens, the quicker that it happens. I've seen crazy things in my life, like Antifa, BLM. I've seen those grow out of nothing in the matter of years, just 2 or 3 years. And I've never seen anything like that. And I mean, I've been all around the U.S. and it's crazy to step from a town that is 95% white and low crime, and you go to a place like Chicago or New York and you experience that difference. And it's amazing. It's amazing the amount of violence, the amount of just everything. It's crazy.
Tell me what you told me about Muskogee, Oklahoma, and Henrietta, Oklahoma.
So, I've been to Muskogee. I usually hang around there. My grandparents live not very far away, and they will not let me go to Muskogee. It's getting close to dark.
I was shocked. Well, you know, John, we're going to a break. Thank you so much. You have knocked a home run, young man. It's kind of depressing, but you know what? We need to know the worst. People, thank you so much for listening in. That was just John, what's your last name?
It's John Heritage.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on. I know up here you don't mind that. And people, will be right back with our next guest stepping up the bat. It's going to be even the worst if possible. Be right back.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Well, dear people, dear Blood River Radio family, without further ado, I'm going to go back to my next guest. We have Wanda and Steven here from Minnesota, and they have, without further ado, I was talking about some things about how bad things are in Germany, about people, denying the Holocaust and for people being arrested for homeschooling. I said, thank God we live in the USA, but I was proven wrong. How about that, Miss Wanda?
Yes, we went to jail. My husband went to jail for homeschooling in 1978.
He went to jail. I heard that. I could not believe that. So tell us about When did you first find out about that that you were probably in trouble with the authorities for your homeschooling?
Steve went and talked to the superintendent of schools, and this is what the superintendent said to my husband.
Yes, this is Steven. I was talking with the superintendent of schools, told him that we were thinking about homeschooling and wanted to talk to him. I wanted to go through the chain of command. And in the conversation, I told him that my children couldn't be anywhere where Jesus Christ was not Lord in, as far as being taught. And he said, well, Jesus Christ is not Lord of this school. And so I guess that you don't want your children here. And I said, no. So we prepared for a court battle, what went on a year and a half. And I ended up going to jail on the Huber Law. I was allowed to get out to work Monday through Friday from 7 in the morning until about 5 in the afternoon. Had to report back to jail. And when I showed up for jail, the first night Wanda took me in, and we had four little children at that time. And the jailer said, I have to frisk you. Do you want your children to see this? And I said, well, yeah, why wouldn't I? And so he said, turn around, put your hands against the wall up high. And as I did that, he kicked my ankles and caused me to go spread eagle. And he started to frisk me very roughly. And my children started crying. And I'm not aware that he did that with any other prisoners. I'm not aware that he did or didn't. But I didn't think that that was right. And I lost privileges that other people that went to jail for drunk driving or whatever were allowed to have different magazines, Playboy or whatever, in the jail cell. But I was not allowed to have my Bible in the jail with me.
So. People, this is not Soviet Union or Cuba we're talking about. This isn't North Korea. This is Minnesota, USA, white, we used to think predominantly Christian, Minnesota, USA. I would think that probably the population, if you take out Minneapolis, St. Paul, would probably be 90% white. But continue on, Stephen. Let's go back a little bit. Now, when you went to the school and you told them you didn't want your children to be taught in a school that they did not, where Jesus Christ was not honored, how long after that meeting that took place, how long after that was it before you started experiencing trouble? And when did you start homeschooling your children?
We had two children that were not school age, two children that were school age. And from the time that we first went to court until I went to jail was at least a year.
Okay.
Would interrupt my work schedule. I'd be prepared to go to work, and then they'd call and say, well, you have court today. So then I'd go to court or go to the courthouse, and we would sit on the bench outside the courtroom waiting for court to start. And sometimes it didn't start, and then the bailiff would come out and say, well, they're not going to have your hearing today. So it took a day of work away. I missed a day of work. And back then, in that time, 19, all through the 70s, it was hard making a living. We lived in northern Minnesota, and I worked in the woods as a logger. I needed every penny that I earned just to make a living, to put food on the table.
And knowing that, they still put you in jail. I'll ask you. Your wife said something about she wanted to bring a Bible in the courtroom. What about that? Tell us a little bit about that.
I'll let my wife talk about that.
We weren't allowed to have a Bible in the courtroom, but we were allowed to quote all the scripture we wanted to.
And this is in Minnesota,
this
people.
This is in Minnesota. And we quoted scripture. The attorney would ask a question, and I popped back with scripture. You know, that was what God showed me to do. And one day, I won't say this. But anyway, we couldn't have the Bible at all in the courtroom. But they did ask us to swear on the Bible.
I mean, it's that. I mean, that's insane. You know, that's what I'm so wound up right now. I'm really so angry. I can't think of that word. Cognitive dissonance. Is, you know, I mean, it's insane. It's straight up insanity.
Can I say this part?
Sure.
The George ordered that Steve and I be evaluated by a psychiatrist.
Oh, yes, yes.
Court-appointed a psychiatrist. So we were evaluated. It was in the newspaper that we had to be evaluated. The report came back that these people are perfectly normal. We had our little kids with us when we were being evaluated, and they sat and colored and just were nice little kids. And he kept watching the kids and watching me and Steve, our reactions and to his questions. And he came back with a report saying, leave the Frenches alone. They're perfectly normal people, and their children are well-behaved and very nice little children. So we went to court, and I said to the judge, because the report came back that we were normal people, and I said, I think that should be in the paper. The report should be in the paper. And the judge says, no, that's private information. So no, they knew that we had to, the public knew we had to be evaluated, but they wouldn't put the report in the paper.
My God, you know, another rhetorical question. Well, let me pass that question. Let's go back to where these good church, God-fearing church people are. How do they treat you? The members of your church, how do they still treat you?
We lost our friends in church. When we were in the court, when we had a jury trial, and several members of the jury were people we went to court with, and they found us guilty of not complying with the compulsory attendance law. So we lost all of our friends. My mom tried to take our kids away from us. The judge and my mom were good friends, so she had an in with him, and we were prepared that they were going to leave. And one day in court, our 8-year-old was sitting there beside me, and I was just sure this was the day they were going to take the kids away from us. And my little 8-year-old said to me, I'm not going to cry. She said, Mom, the judge is up there. This is an 8-year-old. She said, the judge is up there. We're back here, and there's a wall between us, and he can't touch us. She's 8 years old, and she's telling that to me. And I'll just never forget how God used her to speak peace into me that day, because I was just sure that was the day they were going to take them. And they.
Back to you. Okay, Stephen, continue. I'll take up where your wife left off.
Yeah, I want to say that when the, what do you call the lady that?
Child Protective Services?
Yeah. Wanda had called her and asked if I could get out of jail early. And she said the judges never let anybody go early on the Huber Law, but I'll call him and ask him. So she called and asked the judge if I could be released early. This was after 25 days. And he said, yes. But he also told her this. He said, if one person from the county would have called and said, I agree with what Steve and Wanda are doing, he said, I would not have sentenced him to jail. He said he wouldn't have spent any time in jail. The case would have been dropped.
Steve, repeat that. That's incomprehensible. Repeat yeah. This.
The judge, when he was asked if I could get out of jail early, said that if one person from Cook County, Minnesota, would have called and supported Wanda and I in what we were doing and not complained, he would have let me go free. He would not have sentenced me.
You know what? I get more shocked every day. Not one person in the county would come to your defense and just make a friggin' phone call to get you out of jail. People, I know this is kind of an aside, but that's why I tell you people out there all the time. That's why on our website, we don't preach to the alt-right. We can't stand the alt-right. We disdain them. These people are worthless. And I've been told, we got to mollycoddle the alt-right. We have to keep evangelizing to them and evangelizing and preaching to them and preaching to them for 1,000 years if it takes, even as long as if the country's on fire. Well, we have to evangelize to them. People, we've got to go to a break. Thank you so much, Miss Wanda and Stephen. Thank you so much. Yeah. You've been my star witness today, along with John over here. And we have another surprise witness I have to put on the stand here in a minute, folks. And I could not believe I didn't recognize him. We'll be right back. Hang on to your seat. You're listening to Blood River Radio. I'm Betty Bombardier Miller.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby won't say whether troops who refuse COVID vaccines could be dishonorably discharged.
The secretary expects that the department leadership will implement these mandatory vaccines with skill, but also, because we know how to do this across a range of other vaccines, but also professionalism and compassion.
The United Federation of Teachers is resisting full compliance with New York City's vaccine mandate for public school teachers and staffers. Michael Mulgrew, president of the union, said City Hall has asserted that unvaccinated staffers will be taken off the payroll without exception, that is, including those with religious and medical exemptions. The union is going to try to arbitrate the impasse together with other labor groups. This is USA Radio News.
The Giza Dream Sheets are the perfect companion to a MyPillow, the best thing you'll ever put on your bed. Call 1-800-951-8175. Ask for the Giza Dream Sheets special you get, by the way, by using my promo code USA. You can go online also to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special. You can save up to 66% on anything in the MyPillow website. Check it out. MyPillow.com, promo code USA. Friends, Mike Lindell's My Pillow, My Slippers make my feet feel better than they have in about 20 years. My Pillow proprietary foam, memory foam, patented impact gel, indoor-outdoor soles. You won't want to take them off, or Mike Lindell will give you your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and save 40% using my promo code USA.
The Banksy shredded painting comes back. Here's USA's Wendy King.
The Banksy artwork that self-shredded right after it sold for $1.4 million in 2018 is now up for sale once again. The estimated price this time, $5.5 to $8.3 million. Love is in the Bin will travel to London, Hong Kong, Taipei, and New York before it goes to auction next month. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
The House Armed Services Committee adopted an amendment Friday requiring Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin to detail various elements of the Pentagon's activities in Afghanistan, including how military officials plan to facilitate the evacuation of American citizens who were left behind. Proposed by Representative Mike Rogers, Republican of Alabama, the amendment also directs Austin to brief Congress on the Pentagon's plan to maintain air superiority in Afghanistan, its ongoing intelligence and surveillance operations, as well as counterterrorism operations. This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'll tell you what, it's going to be hard to top those two interviews. Our laptop that says it. Yeah, let me call Jay.
Go and Charlotte.
Hey, people, please excuse the interruption. We were out here in northwestern Arkansas, and I was afraid this was going to happen. I told the people we wanted to go live internet, but no, I don't know anything. We're going to continue right back with Brian. First of all, Brian, introduce yourself and tell them how you knew me, but I didn't know you, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I know Eddie Miller from 4 years ago in August 2017 when we were in a room in Charlottesville, Virginia, interviewing people who had just been to the what was supposed to be a peaceful gathering of people hearing some speeches, and things went very unexpectedly different, and we were interviewing some people, including a guy who actually experienced some police brutality and so forth. Simon Roach was there. It was a good group of guys, and one of the best political cesspool podcasts we ever did. So.
Yeah, I was telling Brian today that we actually crashed the servers on that broadcast. Sam and James told me, yeah, we crashed the freaking servers, and I take a lot of pride in being up there. I didn't recognize Brian today, but he was clean shaven in those days. But you know what? Just to let you know what kind of these evil redneck Klansmen are, tell them the music you were playing today.
Oh, I was playing some Brahms, some German romantic music.
He flat did a good job too. This is the quality of people we get up here. I mean, the people we've had on the show today, highly educated, gentle, God-fearing, law-abiding, the very cream of the crop, the salt of the salt of the earth. And one thing they all have in common, they're being persecuted in one way or the other. Our 18-year-old high school kid having to, pay homage and, pay adulation to these feral animals, athletes who can't even pronounce their own name. He has to write, letters about how he admires them, how wonderful they are, the cream of the crop society, these blacks in here. And yet you can't even walk the freaking street. Not in the center of the country, Oklahoma. I was shocked to hear that. And Brian is a college professor. He teaches up here at College of the Ozark. Teaches music, and he gets it. Brian, tell us about the. We got to go to a quick break. When we come back, Brian's going to tell us his assessment. Even though we did Charlottesville last month, he's going to pick up and give his assessment on Charlottesville. It'll be real quick. It'll be different. Yeah. What do you think? So people hung on. Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Blood River Radio. We're trying to soldier on through. We'll be right through these difficulties. Be right back.
Thank you.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more while listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Dear Blood River Radio family, if you're familiar with Blood River Radio, as much as we go on the road, we go to these places where we have more isolated, have internet service that's poor. I wanted to get on the internet, but no, we had to use this Wi-Fi. It's just not working out too good, but we're going to keep soldiering on and do the best we can. So please know, we're just trying to do a quality show as best we can. We're in the middle of the Ozark Mountains, and so that should say it all. And we're going right back to Brian, and the college professor, classical music player, piano player, just... That's the kind of people we have up here. But Brian has kind of a little different assessment of Charlottesville, what happened there. And like I said, I know we did five straight weeks of Charlottesville, but he gave us a completely different, pretty much assessment of what he thinks. So go ahead, Brian. Tell the audience what you tell me about Charlottesville.
Well, I actually didn't want to talk so much about what happened as just the whole mission of the thing. I just wanted to... say, I think we should think locally and act locally. So if we build a statue to Robert E. Lee or Donald Trump or whoever in your town, would you want people from out of state coming to protest you? You know what I'm saying? So I think that, you know, if the state and the town of Charlottesville wanted to take that statue down, let them take it down. That's what I've thought more recently. And same, they should leave us alone if we want to, you know, take down or build our own statues. And that's mainly what I've been thinking recently about it. Yeah.
As my youngest daughter would say, that's a unique for unique outlook. That's a unique outlook. I haven't thought of it that way.
You know, what happened in Memphis was much worse with Nathan Bedford Forrest, because Tennessee actually passed a law that they cannot remove any monuments without the state having a vote about it. But they had this workaround, you see, where they sold the block. Well, it was also worse because he was actually buried there. But they actually sold the block to a nonprofit. They just made, just kind of secretly, like in 24 hours, basically. And then they sold this city block to the nonprofit. And then they said, well, so now it's private land. It's not public anymore. And then the nonprofit got rid of it. So they had this kind of loophole they found. So that was much worse than what happened in Virginia, I think, because it was not honoring the local laws, you see.
You know, so what Brian just got to tell me is what we knew anyway. There is, if you have any illusions after listening to Blood River Radio that there's such a thing as law and order in this country, you know, you've got brain damage, and you're just, I don't know what else to say, because we had Sam Dixon on the show a couple of weeks ago, an eminent attorney. Everybody knows him, a very well-known attorney in the movement. And he said that he thought the political people were so bright. He was telling us, you probably know Sam Dixon. He was telling
not
us all about how he could not believe how naive the American people are. They think, the American people actually think they can go into a courtroom if they have the law on their side, they got the evidence on their side. Bing, bingo, slam dunks, it's going to win. No, that's not the case. I'll tell you a little thing. What happened to James Edwards several years ago? James Edwards, he's my friend, and he runs the political cesspool. He's coming on after this show. He was named as being a grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan, something like that. James Edwards has never been in the Klan a day in his life. Well, that's should have been a slam dunk case of, you know, death of my characters, assassination, whatever. That's what they were suing for, hoping they'd get some money out of these clowns, I think, in Michigan. And the judge ruled, said, well, you know, you got some friends that once upon a time they were hanging out in the Klan, and you spoke to them or something. So what? You know, the law means what we say it is. But anyway, getting back to the Klan, well, I will leave that right now because we've probably talked about that before, but I'm just really frustrated about this country right here. But let's, you know, what's going on? I don't know how anybody can pay allegiance to this stinking country anymore. And I know I'll probably get persecuted for this, but they can take their stinking American flag and stick it. You know, it's never, ever been my flag. Anyway.
Yeah, I want to talk about the recent Texas abortion law that was passed, too.
Go ahead.
So that's been in the news recently. This is another good example of what I'm talking about here. So you see, in Texas, as you know, you've probably heard that they have this new law where if you can hear the heartbeat, which is pretty much after 6 weeks now with modern technology, then you can't have an abortion. And the Supreme Court refused to hear it. So that's effectively, going to be enforced now. Whereas if you go to New York, you have, partial birth abortion. You can have abortion at 40 weeks pregnancy, right? How can we still be part of the same country when we have such different views on human life? And that's what I'm saying. And so I think that some kind of peaceful separation. And I also wanted to say one more idea I want to throw out there, which I think that we need a new currency, which is not the Federal Reserve dollar. I think every state should have their own fiat currency. And that's an idea you should all think about.
And how should that be? I know it's kind of a little bit off my expertise. Should it be based on anything of value, for instance, gold, silver, coal? Oil?
Well, that would be up to each state legislature to figure out. But I think that every state needs its own state fiat currency with its own local bank, just like I think a little bit more close to the system we had when this country was started. So,
a fellow, I wish I could remember his name now, Walter Reedy. He was on our show. He used to be compadres with Professor Aaron. He wrote The Constitutional Militia of the Several States. Professor, God, he was on our show years ago. Anyway, he said something pretty much the same thing. George Washington tried that. They had a fiat currency. And he said that it took a wagon load of currency to buy a wagon load of supplies. But who knows? Also, I was going to ask you, since we all were up here at the 65th annual Klan meeting, and well, this Ku Klux Klan here is 65 years old. Give us this college professor, Mr. College Professor, what do you think about the Klan people you've seen up here today? I know that's not really a leading question. I know you're probably not a lawyer.
Well, I know some of them better than others. There's a lot of people here, and they're very family friendly. I've had a lot of good conversations, lots of people with different backgrounds of all ages, people who've come from all over the country to be here. I don't know what else to say besides that. It's just good to meet people and have a iron sharpening iron, as they say.
Yeah. Don't comment on me because I know I don't want to downgrade the show. But anyway, I don't want to pull the quality down. But I see tags out here parked, plates, place from Iowa, place from Minnesota, place from Wisconsin, place from Texas, Oklahoma. People have come a great deal, have driven a great deal of distance to get here. And I can promise you, Scott's Honor, I'm a Christian, I won't swear on the Bible, but I'll just give you my word. The worst person I've seen here really is more gentle than me. I'm pretty militant. I'm a hardcore member of the League of the South. And even a lot of the League of the Southers are kind of seem to me look a little bit too mild. They barely fit in with my criteria. But anyway, these people out here, God fearing, gentle. They're not sissies. But when I mean gentle, I mean they're like the poem I read that Sam Dixon sent me. I think I read on the air last week. It was when the Saxon begins to hate. They have their long, very long patience, I'll take endless abuse before they finally get stirred up. But I wonder, are they getting near the point of getting stirred up, Prowlis Professor?
I think people are getting stirred up, but, we have to be self-controlled and be very careful about what we do. And, Jason Robb just got a letter in the mail the other day, asking a petition for, I guess it was sent to all the lawyers around the country, trying to tell Congress that white nationalism or white supremacy is the number one threat in America. And it was a big joke that he loved to tell more than once. It was pretty funny, actually.
Well, if he could read my mind, he was probably telling the truth. But just like that famous, I know this, I go down these really weird trails. Like one of my most favorite horror movie of all time was The Thing with James Arness. And when the monster was coming around, the guy said, I hope he can't read minds when he gets to me, because they were thinking he was so smart, he's probably reading minds. But thank you so much, Brian. We're getting ready to go to
You're welcome.
We got about 5 more minutes, so let's try to get somebody else in here. And we're going to talk about the evil Ku Klux Klan. Front and center. Hey, tell me your name, sir. I forgot already.
My name is Leroy Holback.
Well, we're putting up a guy right now. He looks like almost a redneck as my redneck. His name is Leroy, and he has been a Klan member for, tell him how long you, well, he's going to sit down. Mr. Leroy, how long have you been in the Klan? And get the microphone close.
Okay. Look closer. I joined under David Duke back in the, I'm not sure if it's the late 70s or early 80s. And basically, I had a Klan background, especially on my mother's side of the family. So I already knew pretty much being a great-great-grandson of a Confederate military. Major. General. Same way with my brother. And so, you know, basically with our back, my mother's maiden name is Lee. Yeah.